Okay, this message, I don't usually have to have a disclaimer for a sermon, but this one I will. The disclaimer is, if you are emotionally at a level of a 12-year-old, this may not be for you, this message. If you've been warned, and not that, you know, if you've ever gotten angry or blown up, that's not an issue, but if you've been warned about your anger, someone has maybe taken the time and said, you know, I don't know, maybe you ought to check into this, some type of medication or something could help. This may not be for you. If you have a pattern of blowing up, this may not be for you. But if you are older, and let me emphasize this, if you are older, and I am 50 now, and you sort of practice this proverb that says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that has rule over his spirit than he that takes a city. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit. That's Proverbs 16, verse 32. Basically, the distinction I want to make is if you have the Holy Spirit of God, because I don't expect people that don't have the Holy Spirit of God to be able to deal with anger issues or control their anger or anything like that. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God, and that's, you know, I'm guessing, okay, how many of you have been baptized? How many of you can say you have the Holy Spirit of God? Then this message is for you if you can say you have the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to talk about the issue of anger, not so much the negative side, but the positive side of anger. Someone once said that anger is a healthy emotion. That if someone is standing on your toes up to the 21st floor on the elevator, you need to get angry and say, hey buddy, get off my toes. Anger can be a healthy emotion. And to illustrate this, and I wish whatever this was would remove itself, this is a tachometer. All of you men know what a tachometer is. Maybe all of you women know what it tells the revolution per minutes that the engine is turning. I have a sport bike that, and this is the red line issue. This is where it redlines. All tachometers have a red line point. I have a sport bike that redlines somewhere up to 14,000 RPMs per minute. I mean, that's really up there. And that's where your power comes from. Now get this. That's where your power comes from. When you get close to the red line, I can take that sport bike, and if you're just petering around at 1,000, 2,000 RPM, you're barely getting anywhere. But when you tack it up high, it is like a rocket on wheels. They call them, you know, rice rockets. But some analogies there is that the red line is, for an engine, it is a danger zone. If you run that machine in the red line for a long time, it's going to blow the engine. That's why, you know, it's called the red line. And so I'm sort of illustrating this in terms of there is a zone that I think we as Christians who have the Holy Spirit of God, there's a zone I think that we should try to achieve or live in. Now, it's not the red line. When you red line, you end up sinning. But it is a zone that is close to the red line issue. Now, we are all familiar with living in the idle zone. Right there, zero. There's no power there. There's nothing there. You're just putting along at zero, one, two, three. You know, we're all familiar with living in that zone. We live our lives in that zone. We desperately try to return to it and bring our lives back down to that zone. It's a comfortable zone. It's an easy zone. It's a mellowing out. It's like a high zone, you know, just relax and kick back. It's a zone we love to stay in, the idle zone. In the idle zone, you know, you're not getting anywhere either. You're just sitting still. You're just sort of living life. Life in the idle zone. No chance of you redlining. It'd be a cold day in hell when you redline, you know. Now, Now, I've come up with words that describe life in this zone that I want to talk about. This zone that is close up in here, 6, 7, 8, whatever, close to the red line. I have words that I've tied into this zone. I have words, and I'll come to this, words that I connect with life living in near the zone. But I have words right now that describes the idle zone. Lackadaisical, passive, shy, quiet, unimportant, complacent, eager to please, hesitant. Kelly gave me one in his sermon I wrote down. This is added material to my message while he's preaching. Tolerance, idle, uninvolvement, inactive, casual, immobilized by fear, at ease. Now, I'll describe the fear one later, but it's the idle zone that we live in. Now, what is this zone that I'm talking about? Because it sounds strange that I would be suggesting that if we go into the red here, we probably are sinning, but living in a zone that is close to the red, what in the world am I talking about? Is there a biblical scripture or principle that might suggest this? I think it is. It's Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Somebody read that for me. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Don't all volunteer at the same time.
Be angry.
So, wait. What's the first word?
Be.
Be. Let's focus on that one.
Be.
Be. Be ye angry. That's strange. That sounds strange for a Christian, does it not? Be ye angry and
sin not.
Be ye angry. But don't sin. Is there, for a Christian who has the Holy, let me emphasize, not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks the street out here who's getting ready to blow up and walk into a theater and kill everybody. I'm not talking about that person. But for the Christian, is there such a thing as to be, is there a zone that you're supposed to live in that says, be ye angry, but don't sin. In other words, you edge it close to the red line. Edge it on up. Soup it on up. You know, put some power to it. Get your butts off the idle zone, you know. Get out of the idle zone. Be ye angry and sin not. The word anger means provoke or enraged. Let me tell you something. There's a lot for you to be provoked and enraged about. If you're not concerned, you're not awake. You know, if you're not worried, you're asleep or something. I mean, I'm not sure how to explain this. So much of Christian emphasis has been placed on never be angry. In fact, this guy that said anger is a healthy emotion said that he grew up in a family where anger was one of the seven deadly sins. He said his father would say, don't you ever raise your voice. Don't you ever say, you know, don't you get angry. We don't say that. We don't get angry around here. It was one of the seven deadly sins. You do not get angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, the fact that we have made a mistake and gone overboard and gotten to the red zone, red line, is a given. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I am saying, be ye angry and sin not. So much of the Christian emphasis has been placed on never be angry that we retire to a life lived in the idle zone. I drink alcohol. And I'll tell you why I drink alcohol. I am able to retire to the idle zone. That is the only reason I drink. I do not drink for any other reason. I am in my idle zone. Because I almost fear if I wasn't in it, no telling what I would do. I would get into the red line. Maybe I shouldn't admit that, but anyway. Hey, let's be honest. And again, so much of the Christian life is emphasis has been placed on never get angry that we retire to a life lived in the idle zone, lackadaisical, passive, quiet, shy, unimportant, complacent, eager to please, hesitant, tolerant, at ease, casual, inactive, uninvolvement. Now, I want to tell you what I like about getting close to this red line. And I still got to give a message on how to stay there. I'm not giving you rules on how to stay there yet. But I have been there. And boy, do I love it. In fact, I like it so much that I've often thought about taking a hammer and just putting it every day, just get it in my garage and just taking that thumb right there and get me a hammer and whoop it so I can get into the zone. When I'm in the zone, I am highly productive. Fears vanish. I don't care. I mean, I will walk into a lion's den. Priorities all of a sudden just line up. Motivation becomes energized. Passion becomes singularly focused. Goals become touchable and reachable. Decisiveness rules. I sometimes think, some of you don't know you're living this life near the red zone line. Some of you haven't even cranked your engines yet. But I don't know if Ronnie would know this or not, but I'm going to tell Ronnie a secret he probably don't even know about himself. He has control, be angry and sin not. But he lives his life close on up there. High RPMs. I'm not saying Ronnie's an angry person, but he has a lot of these qualities here that I'm listing here. Decisiveness rules. Here's what I love. You don't care if you're embarrassed. Oh, I love this one. You don't care. You don't care if you get embarrassed. You don't care what people think. Huh?
You don't get embarrassed.
You don't get embarrassed, no. I would have liked to have, I wasn't in the zone when I did the interview. Maybe a little bit, but, you know, I did the interview for the station. You know, I need to be in the zone. I just don't care. And you're committed to a cause when you're in the zone. Mark 3 and verse 2. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Let's see if this guy is going to heal some poor sap on the Sabbath, because if he does, we want to kill him. You ever met people that are so dumb, they just need to be drop-kicked off the planet Earth? You know, if I were God, I would be drop-kicking people off the planet, out past the universe every day of my life. Just punt them. Just pew! There you go. It's a good thing I'm not God. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger. Now this anger was for a purpose, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He said to them, to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. In other words, this is purpose-driven anger. It is not anger for the sake of having anger. It is not blowing up because it makes you feel empowered. When you're young, you got to watch out for that one. When you're very young, you think being angry makes you cool and gives you power. I'm talking to people who have the Spirit of God, though. It's purpose-driven anger. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Here's the ones that need to be drop-kicked off planet Earth. Just no more. Pass, you know, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, just floating around out there somewhere. We'll get to you later. There's something about righteous anger, the kind Jesus had. The battleground is established, a line in the sand. And the Pharisees knew he's not backing down, and we must destroy him. John 2 and verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. John 2 and verse 14. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and oxen and poured out the changer money and overthrew the table. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things from hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Be angry and sin not. This is living. This is the kind of life that we all dream about. It really is. I mean, if you think of the results of it, I don't think. You know, now, I will warn you about this. I'm not talking about the sin part, be angry and sin not, not the red line, but I am talking about bumping it on up here. Now, maybe one day I'll give you instructions on how to do that. I hope it won't be hitting your finger with a hammer every day, but I think there is a way to achieve this. It has a lot to do with your attitude about life, the way you look at life, what you will tolerate. Oh, there's the word. We will tolerate anything. Anything. Now, when you're in the zone, you're not the most pleasant person to be around. You want pleasantries? Hang out with a guy who's idling. Or a woman. They will give you they'll be Mr. Nice Guy. Oh, he's so nice. And isn't she nice? And oh, they're so nice. And have a nice day. You ever had someone, you know, drive through the window? Have a nice day. And I'm thinking, yeah, give me my change. When you're in this zone, you can't tolerate a dumb blonde or a blonde guy. Jesus overthrew the money changers, the money's flying. Imagine that scene in the temple. Chickens and stuff all over the place and birds and money and coins and tables upside down. He's got a whip in his hand. He's angry. But you can't tolerate a dumb blonde at that time, you know. Well, Jesus, you nearly stepped on a chicken. You know, pshoo, there's your chicken on the other side of the moon. Drop kick it over the, You can't tolerate, you know, dumb, idiotic, stupid questions that people ask. Non-irrelevant, nonsensical statements. You can't tolerate the intellectual when you're in this zone either, you know. Well, Jesus, do you suppose I don't think anyone said anything to Jesus at this moment. Well, Jesus, let's talk about your anger issue. You know, let's have an intellectual, stimulating conversation. I admit, when you're in this zone, there's things, you know, you're not the most pleasant person to be around, but you have a choice. You can be the most pleasant person. You can go back to idol, and everybody will love you and want to hang out with you. One of the things that amazes me about trying to achieve this zone is that when I'm in this zone, sin looks stupid. It really does. It looks downright stupid. Sin looks stupid when I'm in that zone. Now, I'll tell you when sin looks good, when you're idling. Boy, it looks good. Is that biblical, that concept? 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1. King David was in the idol. Now, I'm not saying he lived his life. I think for the most part, King David lived his life up here, tacked up. Because you don't execute the judgment of God in the idol zone. You don't go out and wipe out nations in the idol zone. But this was a mistake. And it came to pass after the years was expired, and at the time when kings go forth to battle, it was a time when kings go to war. Now, when you're at war, you're not in your idol zone. I would say soldiers, I've never been in a battle, but I would say soldiers probably get in the red with some anger issues. And probably they should be, I don't know. But that's the battle. But don't we sing a song, Onward Christian Soldiers? Why do we sing that? Are we comparing ourselves to soldiers at war? Why? We haven't cranked our engines yet. Why are we talking about some battle going on? What battle's going on? You know, battle's going on when you're idling. Nothing's going on. It came to pass when kings go to war. What, David was a king. He's not at war. What was David doing? Next verse. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed. It's evening. 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening. He's getting up out of bed. This is like a teenager that sleeps all day. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening. He's getting up out of bed. He's supposed to be at war. He's sleeping. And he walks upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You know the rest of the story? The guy gets up. He's totally ruled. He's in his idol. I don't even think he had cranked up yet. He's in his idol zone. He's strolling around the palace, ruled by his emotion. And you know what happened? No, he needed to be in the red zone. If he'd have been in the red zone, first of all, he'd have been at war with the kings. And he would have got up 5 o'clock in the morning. And he would have said, there's a woman bathing. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. That's sin. I'm not going to go there. If you're in the red, if you're close to the red zone, if you're living in this mode. Like I said, when I have achieved this, sin looks stupid. It is only when I'm idling that sin looks desirable. I need to wrap this up. I got a plaque on the wall that says I'm a motorcycle mechanic. I've always loved motorcycles and loved working on them. And one of the things I learned very early was if you let an engine idle long enough, the plugs will foul out. And some of these, bikes even today, you've got to run them hard to blow out the and keep them running good. And my question is, what does God do with a church that's been idling and been in an idle mode for so long that the plugs are fouling out and the engine's about to conk out? What does God do with a church like that? That they've been in the idle mode for so long that plugs are fouling and things are just cutting off and quitting and it's not working anymore. Well, I know what I would do if I were God. I'd do the same thing I saw one time. I was driving down the road and I was going slow, and the guy up in a long straightaway, and I was going about 35, 40 miles an hour, and the guy had a weed eater. I saw him. I thought, boy, he's having a hard time trying to crank it. We got a saw that we used, same way. Cuts rock. You can pull on it all day long. And I thought, this is sort of funny. He's trying to get that weed. And by the time I got up next to him, he grabbed the head of that weed eater and just went like this. And it was like a helicopter. And he just walked back in the house. I mean, he threw it away. He threw it away. That's what I would do if I were God. Now, Revelation 3 and verse 15, last verse, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And I have a feeling that a lot of Christians probably say that. Living in America, I don't need anything. I got everything I need. And you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. One minister put it so eloquent. He said, God has, he believed, spit the church out of his mouth, and the spit is drying on the sidewalk. Now, let's clarify. When I say church, I'm talking about you. Don't get some illusion about some building. I'm talking about you and me. I don't like it any more than you like it. Spit us out. The spit's drying on the sidewalk. And I come to this verse. It says, be ye angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That means at the end of the day, you just let it go. You're able to sleep. Good night's sleep. You don't agonize over it through the night. You just let it go. But during the day, why not be in the zone that really creates some fascinating results? Don't we know that the Christian life, every virtue, vice has a vice, every vice has a virtue, that the Christian life, there is a fine line that you've got to walk in any category that you want to talk about to be productive, to be a kind of Christian we need to be. That's a fine line there. And it's not easy to stay in that zone. One of the things that I've seen in the church is that people who have come into the church who have, in their mind, converted to tolerance. It's sort of like, that's what they think conversion is. They've converted to a mode of tolerance. And at one time, these people did have some anger. I'm not saying the anger was good, But to see a person who at least could get upset over something and now never gets upset over nothing, all in the name of tolerance, something isn't right about that. There was a song. My mother gave this to me in a poem booklet that I have. You who have dreams, if you act, they will come true. To turn your dreams to a fact, it's up to you. If you have the soul and spirit, never fear it. You'll see it through. Hearts can inspire other hearts with their fire. For the strong obey when a strong man shows them the way. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men, who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I will soon give you 10,000 more. Boy, I say, give me some men, women, Christian men and women. No, give me men and women who are disciples of Jesus Christ, who are on the verge of redlining.